What have we been speaking on? You guys have the sharp young minds. Disciples. Give the gal a cookie, all right? Give the gal a cookie. We've been speaking on discipleship and how God is in the business of changing us into His disciples. That we are to be disciples and what? Make disciples, right. And so today, we're going to talk about being culturally engaged. In other words, involved in what's going on in the life of our community, in this world, in the people that we come across. We are called to be engaged in their lives. Did you know that? Jesus was one of the best there was ever at being engaged with people where they were at the moment that they were at, and He did it, and He showed us how to do it. But God wants us to be a lampstand. He wants us to be a light that shines Christ into a dark world. And as we have become intentionally blessing others, we want to be a blessing where they live, where they work, and where they play, and where they see needs. And He also wants you to be a leader in the world. Now, God's definition of a leader and the world's definition of a leader is not the same. Did you know that? You know, the kingdom of God has a way of kind of turning things around. And in the Bible, it says that if you want to be great, you become the what? The servant of all, don't we? We become the servant. We become the least of these. But the world likes to say, well, you're not a leader if you don't have like 74 million people following you on Instagram or something like that. I've got, I think, 16 following me on Instagram. Well, maybe 18 now, but, you know. But today we're going to look at being culturally engaged. And, you know, yesterday as people shared about Jake and Marilee and about Jake mainly yesterday, you know, they were a couple that was ahead of their time. They were culturally engaged before that was even a word, okay? They were engaged in what was going on, and they treated people that way. And God is calling each of us to be a leader because we are to lead by example to be to the part of the world that we are in where we have influence. Do you guys have influence? Yes. You can shake your heads. Yes, you have influence. Do you guys have influence? Yes. We all have influence somewhere with someone at some time. And so we are all called to be leaders in this world as God would call a leader. Rick Taylor said this. He said that from a biblical point of view, every Christ follower is called to be a leader in the world as one who takes initiative for the benefit of others. See, we aren't just to benefit ourselves, are we? In fact, I would say that that's supposed to be pretty low on the list, is benefiting, just if all we do is benefit ourselves, we are pretty selfish people. We are pretty self-centered people. But God calls us to take initiative for the benefit of others. And God took initiative at the very beginning. He wanted to benefit His creation. And when creation didn't go the way it was supposed to go and follow God, He took another initiative and He sent His Son to die for us. This is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life. We get eternal life because of how God sent His Son to die for us. You know what? Biblically, we are supposed to, as husbands, we're called for the benefit of our wife and children. Wives are called to take initiative for their husbands and children. Children are called to take initiative for the benefit of their parents. Did you know that? It says it in the good book. Do you know what? Employers are to take initiative to take care of their employees. Employees have been given an admonition to obey their employers, Do you know that we're supposed to obey our government? Now, there's probably a place and a time to take a stand, and we need to do that on occasion. But we are all called to be God's kind of a leader, whether someone follows us or not. Because in this world, there'll be times when what we stand up for, people will say yes, and what we stand up for in a godly way, people will say, boo. And so God says this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then this is where the second is equally important, Jesus says. See, God is at work to make us more compassionate to the world around us. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So God was saying, we've got to love him. We've talked about that as disciples, we have to love God. But we also have to love his creation. We have to reach out to those around us who are in need. When you are loving people that God puts in your life, when you're leading them to Jesus, you're being a leader. You will increasingly be a leader if you take the initiative to go where others live, work, and play for their benefit. Being culturally engaged means stepping out into the world by going outside our normal sphere of comfort and opportunity and stepping into the cultures and lives of others where they live, work, play, and have needs. Do you know we have a lot of people in our church that step outside their comfort zone for the benefit of others? There's a lot. We have a lady in this church that serves at a food bank every week. We have people that in this church that wash bedding for homeless people that spend the night in a shelter in Snoqualmie. We have people that go out door to door and ask people if they want to be prayed for or if they would like to know more about Jesus. We have people that are doing that. We have people that work in our school, in our schools, that minister to the young people in our schools. We have a guy who shares his vegetables with people in the neighborhood. We have all kinds of things that go on that a lot of us don't know about. But I look around and I see that God is definitely using this church to become culturally engaged. Because we have been called to make a difference in someone else's life. And we're going to look at a story here that happened about 450 BC. And there was a young man named Nehemiah. And he was living in exile in Persia. And he had just, if you look at the beginning of his book, he just has received word that Jerusalem and God's people in that area were living in utter ruin. That the walls were down around Jerusalem, that they were afraid the enemies would come in and rob them and steal from them. And listen to what he says happens to him as he hears this, as he hears about how vulnerable these people have been. Nehemiah 1, and starting in verse 4, he says this, and when I heard this, when I heard that the walls were down, when I heard that there was stuff going on with people, he says, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven. You know, have you ever had those moments where God has spoken to you about something that's going on in the community or maybe in your family, and all you could do was sit down and weep and cry and pray and fast? I've had that happen. And this happens to Nehemiah. And he says, and then I said, O Lord God of heaven and the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. And I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. And do you know what the sin is that he's confessing there? He's confessing that he has become too comfortable. Because Nehemiah, he was the king's cup server. He was the guy that went before the king and was always happy. Okay? He was always of a good cheer. And he gave the king wine, so the king was always in a good mood. All right? And if we look at what happens next, we find that because he's been living in luxury and because all of his people that he knows, people that he's associated with, people of his God are not doing well, he realizes there's something I need to do. There's some change I need to make. And so even though he was living in luxury, his heart was broken. You know, we need to have our heart broken from time to time when we get too comfortable. And I'm going to tell you right now, you might say, I'm not too comfortable, Steve. I'm going to tell you, if you were to go to a mission trip to a third world country, or not even some third world countries, some countries, and you would go into some of those countries, you would see how rich and how luxurious we are here in America. And upon hearing this news, the comforts of his surroundings were not enough to medicate the pain in his heart. And I think sometimes God needs to do that with us. And for 4 months, he was praying and fasting and asking God to do something for the people around Jerusalem. And you know, when we begin to take time to pray about things, moral discernment begins to come alive in us. And as we do that, and as we're filled with the compassion of God, there's something that begins to happen where we have to get involved. And I love it that when you guys hear a need, you want to get involved. You want to take care of it. And so I am so excited that we are a church that knows how to step out of our comfort zone. I think God wants to call us out of even more of our comforts, though, to serve him. And as he's serving, finally after 4 months, and he's serving one day before the king, and his dauber is really down that day. It's really down. And the king notices. Do you know what? It's not a good thing if the king notices something, right? He was to make sure the king didn't notice those kinds of things. He kept pouring wine to make sure. But God has a way. And it says that the king notices and he says, well, you don't look sick, but what's wrong? And then he says to him something like, you must be heartbroken. And then this is what Nehemiah says. He says, when I noticed that the king noticed, I was terrified. But I replied, long live the king! And then he said, how can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And see, this is what happens when we take a step out in faith. Because Nehemiah has been praying, he's been fasting, and for some way he's kept the lid on this for about 4 months. And the king hasn't noticed that his dauber has been down until this day. And then he says, obviously you have a broken heart. And he says, how can I not be sad? And the king says this, how can I help? How can I help you? And with a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it please the king and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. Becoming culturally engaged, getting involved with what's going on in our community. You know, maybe it's getting on a committee. Maybe it's running for an office. Maybe it's helping at a food bank or ministry of some kind. Maybe it's going door to door. Maybe, I don't know what it is for you, but God wants to stir us up and get us involved with those around us who are in need. Because it is in moments when we become compassionate about our culture and about those around us that God begins to use us and begins to turn the tide. As our heart is more submitted to Him and our mind is shaped by His Word, our choices will wake up as our compassions grow, and they'll create a chain reaction within us that should launch us into action. Do you know that God has called us to be men and women of action? Now, sometimes that's just praying. And I don't mean that just praying, because we know that everything starts with the worship and the prayer that we go before God with. And anything that is going to be good has to be bathed in prayer. But moral discernment lights the match that eventually ignites us into a life that is more culturally engaging. Where moral discernment raises awareness, a life that is culturally engaged will take action. See, being engaged in our culture assumes personal involvement. And that's what happened to Nehemiah. When he heard the report and he began to pray, he began to see that there was something he needed to do. And I think as disciples, if we will begin to pray and ask God, what is it you want me to do? He will begin to engage you and say, this is what I want you to do. Oh no, it can't be that, God. I don't want to do that. No, that's not up my alley, God. You know what? If God asks you to do it, it's going to be up your alley. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And one of the most involved people with culture, like I said at the beginning, was Jesus. Jesus saw the money changers taking up space in the court of the Gentiles on the Temple Mount and crowding out the Gentiles seeking God, and he became engaged. And what did he do? He turned the tables over, didn't he? He said, get out of here. This is a house of prayer. Don't be doing this. He engaged. He chased the swindlers out of the temple area. When the religious leaders came to him after he had healed on the Sabbath, when he cast out demons on the wrong day of the week, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no wrong day of the week to cast a demon out, you guys. There's no wrong day of the week to help people. There's no wrong day of the week to bring healing. But Jesus was culturally engaged in what was going on, and it didn't matter who was there, what day it was, he reached out and he became engaged with what was going on. Cultural engagement is the hand-to-hand combat of the Christian faith. Sometimes we can be intentionally blessing, you know, we can give our money from afar. But being culturally engaged, we have to look in people's eyes. Do you see a need? Fulfill that need. Because at every turn, Jesus modeled a life of being culturally engaged. And being culturally engaged, Nehemiah knew it meant leaving the comforts of his Persian palace for the hardships of a struggling Jerusalem. And being culturally engaged and being involved in people's lives can be wonderfully messy. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, seems like when God begins to move, it's rarely clean, right? It's rarely normal. But there's kind of a coolness in that. Are we on the same page with God? Sometimes I think we buy into the notion that we as Christians, as individual Christians, are not significant enough. I want to tell you that that is the biggest lie the enemy likes to use against Christians. I want to say to you right now, you are not insignificant. Young people, you are significant. God has a plan for you guys. God has a destination and a destiny for you guys. And you are extremely significant in His plan for this planet. I was excited to hear this week that one of our gals is signing up to become an officer in FFA. That is exciting. I don't know about you, but I'm excited because she has decided to have a voice. People listen to her. And if she's the president, they'll even listen more. You'd be praying for her. Our faith needs to be expressed wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we play, and in wherever we see needs. We all have a sphere of influence because we are disciples of Jesus, because we are children of the Most High God. And it doesn't matter if we're at home or in our neighborhood or at school or in the workplace, but the tribe, the people that we spend time with, are the spectators of a grand demonstration of the greatness of God. Did you know that? You have God in you. There is a greatness in you, and you are to show the greatness of God. Does that mean that you are boastful and proud? No. But look what Jesus said. He said, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket." Does anybody do that here? If you do that, it goes out, right? There's no light. Maybe if you want to make it dark, you do that. But as Christ followers, we want our lights to shine. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, Jesus said He is the light. And as His disciples, we are reflecting His light. Okay? Because in us there is no good, but Jesus in us is awesome. Jesus in us makes our light shine. He goes on to say that in this same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. If you go through life and sometimes you're down, but most of the time you're up, people will say, "What's up? Why are you that way?" Because God is good. Let His light shine through you. You know, we all like object lessons, right? You like it when the preacher gets up here and he hammers on something, or he fills something up and it turns black, or what, you know, object lessons are always fun. Do you know what? You guys are object lessons to the world of God's goodness. That's who you are. You guys are the reflection of Jesus. Sometimes we try to be somebody that we're not. Has God called you to be anything other than who you are? No. Maybe you won't lead a million people to Jesus over a lifetime. But you have been called to lead those around you to Jesus. And if you do what you're called to do, then you have completely fulfilled what God has asked about you. For years, the people of God in Jerusalem had waited for somebody else to show up and do the work, because they couldn't. See, God is calling us to be the repairer of walls in people's lives. God is calling us to step in and say, I've got an answer if you want to hear it. You know, this is why I am able to do this. This used to be my story, but now this is my story. God wants you to be engaged. God wants you to be that lampstand that shows His light to the rest of the world. So what are some ways that Christ followers can be culturally engaged? First one is to be present. Just be there. Some people just need you to be there. It sounds easy enough, but sometimes being present in our world isn't easy, right? What is that? It's my cell phone. I know it's a mouse, but it's my cell phone. You know, sometimes we're preoccupied. Be present. Be, and then don't let it mess up the computer. Okay. But we're called to be present. Know the issues of our community. Know the issues of things, of people in your life. Don't be afraid to ask. Maybe there's a neighbor that used to always come outside and was outside, and all of a sudden, for several weeks, you notice they're not outside. Check on them. Pray for them. God's called us to interact outside of the walls of the church and be into our community. Introduce yourself to neighbors. Invite them over for dinner. Participate in local events. Let your voice be heard when appropriate. Be a regular at local establishments. You know, sometimes I don't want to go out, but sometimes I go out simply to see who God will put in my way that I can bless. Because if there is no cultural engagement, then there is no change. Jesus was constantly involved. Do you know what? I like this. I've done this a couple of times, sometimes not very successfully. But Jesus invited himself over for dinner. I mean, they didn't invite him. He invited, hey, I'm going to be at your house for dinner today. Are you ready? You know, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be fearful. Sometimes I'm afraid what people will think of me if I get in their business. Well, if you're getting in their business because you love them, it's one thing. Jesus invited himself over. So be present. Second thing, practice discernment. You know, we talked a little bit about this a few weeks back about learning to be morally discerning. There's some places you should be, and there's some places you shouldn't be. There's some places that you can walk into, and there's some places you should pray for and let somebody else walk into. As we become culturally engaged, it's so important that we be discerning. When we engage with people, I think there's three things that we need to think about, and it's in this area of discernment. We need to reject what is evil in a situation, but we need to receive what is good. You know, sometimes Christians think that if a little is bad, then everything is bad, and so we don't want to get involved in something. You know what? Get involved in the good part of something. Change, get involved in people's lives to see them change. And then the third thing is to redeem what is broken or lost. Okay? So reject the evil, receive the good, and redeem. what needs to be redeemed in that situation. It's not always the time to be a cultural warrior. There's a lot of things I don't believe in that go on in our society. And a lot of times I see the church attack the people involved instead of loving the people and attacking the event or what they're doing. We have to learn to love people. And Jesus didn't call us to be spiritual pacifists. We're called to action. Sometimes we must fight, sometimes we share things in common, but we're always looking for ways to heal, because that's what Jesus did. You know, sometimes he forgave someone's sins, and then he healed them, and other times he healed them or he rescued them, and then he said, just don't sin anymore, you guys. Now, did that always happen? I don't know, probably not, but we know that it made an impact on people, and we know that a lot of people did change, because love changes people. Sometimes we must fight, but sometimes we need to just share and be there, and we always need to be looking for people's healing. Next, we have to have humble hearts that are submitted and our minds biblically formed. You know, this was the beginning. This was the center of what we started talking about in being a disciple. But we cannot engage a culture if we don't know exactly who we are submitted to and we know what we know about Jesus. Pray before you go out. Read your Bible before you go out. And you know, if somebody asks you a question you don't know, don't fake it. Say, I don't know. But I'll ask somebody and I'll get back to you. We live in this day in a culture of sin, but the gospel is good news. The gospel has good news. And the character of God requires that we know the word. Next, we need to be courageous. All through Scripture, we see this. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Deuteronomy 31:6, and all through Moses is told to be courageous, and Joshua's main theme is be courageous, and all through the Scriptures, we see this talk about being courageous and not fearing. That the Lord your God is the one who goes with you, and God is our strength, and our hope is in Christ alone. And we read all these. But as we engage culture, it demands a great personal conviction that we are doing what God has called us to do. And like Jesus, and like the apostles, preaching the gospel in the world and doing the gospel, loving people. Sometimes we'll label us as being a helper, and sometimes we will be labeled a meddler. And I'm going to tell a story on myself, a little bit ago. Someone asked me to go pray at a couple of places with them. And when they first asked me to go to these couple of places, there was this momentary horror in my mind. Why would I go there to pray for somebody? Oh, that's why I would go there. And the Lord said, this isn't you. I'm sending you here. I'm sending you here. Be courageous. And I went, all right, God, your deal. And you know what? It was so much fun. It was such a blessing to me. And I'm believing that there will be fruit from what we did. Be courageous, you guys. Everyone who labors in reaching out to those will encounter fear. They'll be out of their comfort zone. And comfort and courage will only come from God, who has promised that He will take care of us. And you know what? What does He say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who are persecuted, right? You know what? There will be times when people will react in a way that feels nasty, negative. But that's okay. If you're doing what God has called you to do, so be it. God's got you. And then what's another way that as Christ followers, we need to speak in love. We must explain the hope we have and even the gospel that we have in words people can understand. I was with someone one time a while back, and we were doing some, in the business world, we called it cold calling. You know, you just go up and meet somebody. And I was with another person, and this other person began to engage, and it wasn't really going anywhere. The conversation was kind of, the guy was not interested at all in the conversation that had gotten started. And he said, I'm a Buddhist. I don't need your Jesus. You guys can have your Jesus, but I'm a Buddhist and blah, blah, blah. And so it just wasn't going anywhere. And I noticed a motorcycle under a tarp. And I said, oh, what do you got going on over there? He said, well, that's a little sporty. I said, I used to ride a sporty. Oh, really? Yeah. I said, right now I'm riding this. And I said, but I've had several bikes, and I had a Sportster. And he goes, oh. I said, hey, what's your name? Because we couldn't get his name or anything a little bit earlier. And he goes, oh, this is my name. I said, well, would you mind if we prayed for you? No, not at all. Now, I'm not going to convert to your God right now. I said, I'm just going to pray for you. Oh, be great. You know, so sometimes in a conversation, if you don't see it going the right way, say, okay, God, do we back away or do we take a different tack? But speak in love. Everything we did speaking in love. See, God wants us to be involved. You know, I have noticed that in the Northwest here, it just seems that the spiritual climate gets darker and darker. Guys, we've been called to be in this dark place so that we can be lights. I know it would be easier to go to Idaho or the Bible Belt and live and not have some of the things that are going on, but you know what? God's called us to live here. That's how I feel. And to be a light to this area. And so if God's got you here, be a light. Be culturally engaged. Show love. Be the image bearer that God has created us to be. Christ calls us to love and to serve. And you know what? You can't claim to love your neighbor if you don't love your neighbor. Invite him over for dinner. See, God has redeemed us. His love has redeemed us. And that love from God and for others needs to be what moves us to speak and to act. And I'm going to end with a couple of verses out of 2 Corinthians. And Pastor Riley shared these with us a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's so cool that I want to share them today too. One of the prayers of our heart each day ought to be that God would continue to help us to be someone that has His compassions. And this is what Paul says, and I love what he says here in the second book, chapter 5 of Corinthians. He says, "You guys, anybody who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Can I get an amen? Okay. Well, that was kind of weak. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Thank you. All right. Good. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. You guys, we have a new life. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is because we paid for it. Is that what it says? What does it say? It says it's a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling. Say reconciling. Okay, do you know what that means? It's a reuniting. It's a unifying. It's a pulling the parts back together the way they were originally meant to be. And he has this task of pulling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling, there's that word again, reuniting the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And why is that? It's because of what Jesus did, right? All right? And because we are being culturally engaging, we have this wonderful message to share with those around us. Listen to this. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Do you feel it? I feel it. I'm amazed every day when I get up that wow, God loves me. I'm alive this morning. I've got something to do for God. My wife and I have been praying every morning at breakfast. And God, whatever You set in front of us to do today, may we do it. I think so often we think something has to be so grand and so great and we've got to think about it and think about it. And I believe that you pray every morning, God, whatever You put in front of me to do today, I'm going to do. And you know what? You will be culturally engaging if you do that. So we are Christ ambassadors and God is making His appeal through us. And then Paul says this, "We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." You guys, we have the good news. Come back to God. God loves you. We live in a dark, dark area, but God loves this area. We've had 2 weeks of sunshine. How's that felt? Well, that's the same thing with God. We have the light of Jesus in us to share with other people. We like the light, don't we?
Yes,
we do. And we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's good news. That's good news. That's the kind of news that everybody needs to hear. That's the kind of news that your neighbor needs to hear that throws rocks at your cat. That's the kind of news that the kid down the street needs to hear who tips your garbage can over every Monday night for fun. See, we are called to be engaged with the culture that God has put us in, wherever that might be. We're to be His hands and His feet and His voice to a world in great need. As a disciple and as a Christ follower, He will equip us. He will empower us and encourage us to go out. Let's stand. You ready to go out? Ready to get culturally engaged? I hope so. It's good news. We have good news to share. Good news to share. Share it with somebody today. Maybe somebody calls you up on the phone. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I think I can pray for you about that. Would you let me pray for you? There you go. You're sharing the good news. Hey, I'm sorry you're feeling down. Can I pray for you? I was texting. Okay. God gives us so many opportunities. Don't miss your opportunities, right? Don't miss your opportunities. Father God, we're grateful and we are thankful that you love us so much. You loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. And because you rose from the dead and you took care of our sin, we have the good news to share with other people that you can take care of their sin too. God, you can bring light into dark places, and you can bring us into those dark places to be the reflection of your light. And God, I pray that as disciples, that as we are coming to the close of this series, God, that God, we would just remember that you said, go out and make disciples. Lord, help us to be those kinds of disciples that make disciples. Lord, I thank you for this time today. I pray a blessing upon it, Lord. I pray that you would rejuvenate our spirits today, God. I pray that what Russell talked about earlier, just kind of having that tiredness, God, that you would just release that from us, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful and thankful that that's who you are. You renew our spirits. You can lift us up. You can be the lifter of our head every single day. God, we're grateful and we're thankful for this time that we've had today now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.